there once with the help of the Lord. I have desire to read from Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10. I wish to start reading with verse 13 and conclude with verse 31. Mark chapter 10, 13 through 31. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about, and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying amongst themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be, and the last first. May the Lord bless these few words upon. There once we began reading over here in verse 13 about the children, about the distraction maybe that they brought at that time, and it says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. So parents apparently wanted the children to be around the Savior, Jesus Christ, so he can bless them. And we can see, and as we look at the disciples rebuking those that brought them, we can in a way understand that children can sometimes be a sort of destruction, maybe just because the way they behave that is not always peace and calm as we would like to have, and I believe this is not nothing meant by any way that disciples didn't want children to be around Jesus, but they wanted to keep peace. They wanted to keep him from destruction so he can do his work. And so many times we can be doing the same thing. But we can see from these few verses that Jesus actually had a great appreciation for the children, for the innocency children bring. Even though so many times immature, loud, giggling, laughing, this is what Jesus is telling us, that we cannot receive kingdom of heaven if you're not like you. And he was not referring to be childish and giggling and running around, but the simpleness of their hearts, just the way they rely on each other, they rely on their parents, on their adults that are around them, just the way they look up to them. And even though many times we cannot understand, or maybe we can be upset or annoyed with their behavior, dear ones, this is who we pray for. This is who we try to keep in a God's mercy. This is who we try to teach the Lord's way. This is the future, not only of this world, but also of this church. And verse 14, it says, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased." He did not like what he saw. He did not like disciples telling parents to keep children away. But he was encouraging to bring them. He says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." This is who we need to be like, he was saying. As I mentioned, that he had a great appreciation or even great promises for children, or how we treat children, how we go about with them. In chapter 18 of St. Matthew, in the beginning, verse 2 says, "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven." This is how we have to be. This is what we need to be. Converted as them. To have a pure heart that even many times mischievous or unfiltered, they will say different things that might not be proper for the occasion, or we have to understand, dear ones, that the children and the simpleness of their heart is, pureness of their heart is something that we need to have. That even if they go out of the way and get in trouble, they're just ready to come back. Trust their parents. with everything they have. Everything that is coming their way, they know that parents will provide as much as they can. And this is the heart we need to have. Trust and faith that our Heavenly Father is there for us, even if we might not understand what tomorrow is going to look like, what's going to happen. Children know if their parents are around, they're going to be just fine. We need to know, dear ones, that Heavenly Father, who we believe, who we serve, who we committed our lives onto, is not going to leave us alone. Even if we fall, even if we do things that we shouldn't, we need to come back. He wants us back. He wants to help us. And He wants to have us around Him. As I mentioned in chapter 18, there is also expectation for children, for those who treat children good or bad. He said, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Again, child showing as his example to be humble, to be dependent of their guardian or their parents is what we need to be. "Also, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that we were drawn in the depths of the sea," gone forever. If we offend the littlest one, a smallest child, this is what Jesus Christ is telling us. It's better that we're gone forever in the depths of the sea. I think it shows his appreciation for children, but it also shows seriousness, how careful we have to be, that not only if we receive one of them, we receive Jesus, but also if we offend one of them, if we reject one of them, if we cause one of them to fall or stumble or go away, we do that as well to Jesus. Disciples were, as they were going along with Jesus when he was teaching, they were talking amongst themselves who is going to be greatest, who's going to be of most importance in the kingdom of heaven. And they didn't do it openly in front of Jesus, but he had to ask them, what were you discussing over there? He knew what they were talking about. He knew their hearts. He knew their thoughts. He knew their conversations. And it's a human nature to be wanting to be someone and something in the life. Even though I believe their desire was or their goal was to be someone and something in a kingdom of heaven. Maybe on a spiritual level, more on a spiritual level, that they wanted to be important. He told them that they need to be servants. If you want to be the greatest, you're going to have to be the lowest. And the same thing he's telling us, dear ones. I believe there is always some goals we have in our lives, some expectations, some desires, some things that we yearn for or we strive for or we work for. But we can see, dear ones, that this is almost as if you have more of this, of the physical, of the this carnal things that were further away from him. And this is what it's showing in the next part of the chapter, where the rich young ruler, it doesn't say it was ruler here, but I think in the Luke's chapter where he describes just exact same situation, it was describing him as a ruler. As he came to Jesus, he addressed him with a good master. What should I do that I may inherit eternal life? We can see that he came kindly. He addressed him with kind words, and his desire to know, and I believe he was sincere, what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one that is God." If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God, sinless, perfect Lamb of God, said these words, who maybe, if anyone had rights to be called good in the history of humankind, before and whoever is going to live on this earth, maybe the only one who would be justified to be called good, we can say, the Son of God, if he didn't allow this young man to call him good, where are we? Where are we with our lives? Do we like to be called good or exemplary or role models? Does it feel good when someone comes to us with those words? We know we're far from that, right? We do. But just human nature likes to be elevated. Likes to be, even though I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm imperfect, if someone comes to me, it does feel good, even though you know it's not true. It does not feel bad. Does not feel awkward to be called good or something along those lines. But Jesus Christ, he did not allow the young ruler to call him good, because there was only one good person, one good, and that is God. He said, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." He mentioned a few commandments that are left by God through Moses. That was a part of a law, which they learned, which we all know, and we all maybe feel like we are holding it. The things that are mentioned here, young ruler, he probably answered quickly. He said, and he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." I'm good. I'm right there. The few things that you mentioned, I got it. What else? We see that the things that were He probably did not kill anyone. He probably didn't commit adultery. Did not steal anything from anyone. Never lied to anyone. Defrauded not. He probably honored his father and mother, and I believe he was honest in his answer. But this is not all that is to serve the Lord. As a matter of fact, Jesus, he said, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "Looks like the Lord liked this guy. He appreciated him." He said, "There's one more thing. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." So these things that you kept from your youth, you didn't trespass against your parents, against your neighbor, against your brother, sister. If you want to be perfect, you need to do one more thing. If you want to be perfect, dear ones, maybe hopefully we never killed anyone in our life, or did any of those grievous sins that we just read about. But do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind and soul, with all our being? Because if we do, we will not have problem to go as this young man was commanded to go and sell. Don't worry about your riches. You will have much more from the other side of the grave. We see that this young man loved his riches a little bit more than he loved his Lord. Do we have even remotely same problem? Is there something that is holding us back? Is there something that we are not ready to give up? Dear friends outside of Jesus Christ, is there something that you know you're going to have to quit or lose if you decide to follow Jesus? If you decide to go and follow him as he was asking this young ruler, are you going to be sad? He said, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. We might not even have as much as he did. What is holding us back? What is preventing us from serving our Lord? What is preventing us from loving our Lord? Our Lord God with all our heart. Are we willing to give anything, or we think we can just do little and make him happy? This is not what he's saying over here. He's asking us to give it all. He's asking us to. And it's impossible. It's impossible for us to do it if we don't love our God with all our hearts, mind, and soul. It was impossible for this young man to do the same. He said, Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciple, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Impossible. Impossible. And he's affirming it twice, that how hard it is. If you trust the riches, If we trust anything that we have, that doesn't even have to be monetary. If we trust our careers, something that we hold so precious to because we work so hard for it, right? The young ruler, he probably have worked for his riches hard. And now he's being asked to give it all up, sell it all, give it to poor and follow him. Do we feel like we're being asked to give up too much? We might say, no, I'm ready to do it. We show with our lives whether we do or not. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Impossible thing. I did hear two versions explaining this, and I don't know if any of them are any accurate or not. I don't know, but it makes sense. One of the versions was that there was a little gate in the entrance to Jerusalem that was closed, when the big gate was closed at the dark, there was only one little gate that was called Eye of a Needle, that only man can come or camel could come, just if the whole load was unloaded and so there was only room for just bare camel to go through. There's another version that I heard that in Greek, rope and camel was spelled almost same, just one letter different. So it would mean that rope, that would be easier for rope to go through a needle than rich men. And it doesn't really matter that much which version is right. Even if it's just literally as it is saying, camel to go through the eye of a needle, as a large animal to go through the eye of a needle, it is we need to understand it is impossible. And this is where disciples were thinking, like, who can be saved then? If it's so impossible for rich men to go through, to enter the kingdom of heaven, who can be saved? And Jesus, looking up upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. It is impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It is impossible for us to love our enemies. It is impossible if someone slaps me on my right cheek to show him my left. It is impossible if someone wants to take away something from me that I give him more. It is impossible if you're carnal. It is impossible to trust into the measure that we know that he's going to be there for us. As a little children are confident in their parents. But we need to have that firm faith that really it is possible with him. And this is why is he asking us. He's promising us eternal life. He's promising us in enormous riches. But we didn't see them. Do we have a faith? Do we have a faith that we should actually leave what we have here and focus on the spiritual life, on serving him, give everything up? Do I have that faith in me that I will be rewarded? I have to follow him. I have to love him more than I love my riches, my brothers and sisters. And in the last last portion here, it's saying that Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." Almost in a prideful way. See, we actually did what this young ruler didn't want to do. And Jesus answered, saying, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." Jesus Christ is not telling us that we need to leave our old family. We need to get away from everyone. We need to get rid of them. That's not what he's telling us here. But if you want to follow him, and if someone is holding us back, we have to do just that. If you cannot serve our Lord because of our relationships, someone that we hold dear to ourselves, if I'm ready to say no to the Lord because of any kind of relationship on here, any kind of treasure, any kind of possessions, we are not worthy to be called his children. And we are promised that we will have hundred times more. And if we become brothers and sisters with each other, children of the Lord, how many more family do we have? Or relationships? Do we treasure what we have at the cost of becoming God's children? If we do, there is nothing else to say. He said it all. We're not worthy to be his children, his disciples. We're just not worthy. May the Lord give us all understanding of this serious things that we need to be like children. We need to be trusting the Lord that he will provide for us. That we need to love our God with all our everything. And that's the only way we can be blessed. And that's the only way we can, not because we did anything in our lives, but he will see us worthy to become his children. May the Lord bless these words upon our hearts. Amen.
Of the three events that happened in this time where we read this morning, all of them point to where do we put our trust? For the little children, it was clear that they put their trust in the Lord. They would put their trust in those who would care for them, and we are to put our trust in the Lord, to be as little children, trusting in the Lord, not childlike, as Brother Michel said, but not childish, but childlike, to be trusting in the Lord in all for him for all things, and not trusting in ourselves. And for the rich young ruler, that he would trust in the goodness of the Lord, and that he would trust in God himself, that with him all things are possible, and that he should not trust in riches. And then he speaks also here of those who had left all, that they would receive more, that there would be nothing in this life that would be of more value to us than serving the Lord and loving the Lord, that we would be trusting in the Lord for all things. Hebrews says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In this we put our trust. This is where we put our trust, not in uncertain riches, but we put our trust in the Lord, with whom all things are possible. We put our trust in him. The institutions of this world fail. They have failed through all the dynasties and the empires of times past. The empire that is currently ruling this world will fail likewise. So we don't put our trust in those things, but we put our trust in the Lord. And here's what the Lord said: I will never leave you nor forsake you. With him who all things are possible, he makes this promise and this declaration to us that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. This is where the Lord wants us to come to, that we can boldly make this proclamation: the Lord is my helper. I do not fear what men shall do unto me. I will not trust in riches. I will not trust in myself. I will not trust in my own goodness. I will trust in the Lord. The Apostle Paul gave Timothy a charge. He writes, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God gives us these things of this life richly to enjoy that the riches of this world cannot give. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us comfort. He gives us many beautiful things richly to enjoy. There were many men who trusted in the Lord, and yet they were rich. They were rich in terms of the value things of this world, but they trusted in the Lord. Job was one of them. This is what Job says: if I have made gold my hope, or have said to find gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoice because of my wealth was great, and because mine hand hath gotten me much, this also were iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. Job recognized, yes, my wealth is great, but I'm not trusting in it. If I were trusting in it, then it would be iniquity unto me. It would be iniquity unto me, and I should be punished if I'm trusting in riches. We are to trust in the Lord, because with him all things are possible. We are to trust in the Lord because he is good. We are to trust in him and rely upon him, even as a little child, to trust in him for everything. And whatever he would have for our lives, that we could boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and rejoice in that. Amen.